Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 294, Episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist. This is still a production of iHeartRadio. This is still the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And guess what? The substitute is in the building. That's why you're hearing my voice. And it's Friday, July 7th, 2023. You're saying, what the fuck is July 7th? Well, let me tell you, it's World Chocolate Day. You already knew that. It's Global Forgiveness Day. It's National Dive Bar Day, National Day of Rock and Roll, National Macaroni Day, National Strawberry Sunday Day, National Father-Daughter Take a Walk Day. Wow, what a monumental day. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. the Beach Curmudgeon, a.k.a. Sand Pa, a.k.a. Old Man at the Ocean, a.k.a. The Cold Fart, a.k.a. Grumpy Cold Men, a.k.a. Back in My Gray at the Beach. Shout out to CWGBO on Discord because, yeah, I was talking about how, man, when it's not sunny at the beach, like, I fucking hate the beach. Let's just be real. Like, it's just cold. For what? Around wet sand? No, thank you. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host. Look, it's Friday. It's time to bring him in. Okay. Mm. You already know. I don't really have to say much. We know about the bidets. We know about the blessed voice. We know about the comedy acting, the writing, the improvising, the podcasting. What more can I say? Except please welcome to the microphone, Mr. Jackie Steele.
Ooh, you keep telling me this. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's all y'all gonna get. Thought I was gonna give y'all some Barry White today.
Yeah.
But not today.
Rest
Jack,
in the voice.
He's got to save his voice. Jack, he's got to save his voice. You know, man, Barry White don't get the flowers he deserves.
You don't think
he don't get the flowers he deserves? We don't talk about Barry White that much no more, man.
I think
have you?
I mean, I have a lot. I listened to a lot of Barry White, especially when I realized how much Barry White was like sampled. And I was like, oh shit, like this shit goes. But yeah, I guess I don't evoke Barry White's name as much as I could.
Yeah, I mean, the man had a golden voice. He had the James Earl Jones voice of music. Just like iconic.
It's
like
so
he is Mufasa
deep.
Of music.
The Mufasa
He's Darth
of music.
Vader of music. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give him that one. We'll give him that one.
You keep telling me this.
Ooh.
Good voice.
Wow, you can go even deeper. Go lower. Go lower.
You keep telling me this.
Okay.
Telling me that. Practice what you preach.
You probably have a good Teddy Pendergrass impersonation.
Ooh,
in
don't
too,
get
huh?
me started. Just love TKO.
Let's
bring in. We got to bring in the guests. We got to bring in the guests.
Boom, 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 Boo-doo, boo-doo-doo-doo.
Sounds that like, was like another love TKO.
Okay. So before we completely turn this into an old man music show, let's take the time to welcome our guest, a very talented performer, very talented writer, working on shows like Corporate, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, or also one of the most notable production assistants that come to my mind as a lover of late night television. You might remember from the Late Late Show. Please welcome to the microphone, Bridger Weiniger!
Oh!
Bridger. Welcome.
All I wanted to do is sing in my intro, and I can't. I simply can't carry a tune.
Oh, so I'm also, just dropping the ball. Of course, the host of I Said No Gifts. I just completely dropped the ball there. Also, fantastic. Fantastic podcast. Bridger, welcome, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Well, let's be upfront. We talked a little bit about this before the show. I spent a lot of time very early this morning waiting outside of Glendale Hyundai for my boyfriend, and then had to just drive home because he got a loaner car there. So my time was wasted. I'm in a fight with Glendale Hyundai and my boyfriend.
Oh, was your boyfriend doing the thing? It was like, I got to drop my car off, and then I need you to pick me up after I drop my car off. And after a long wait, it's never mind. They gave me a loaner.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And he woke me up so early. The drive to Glendale Hyundai is 12 minutes. Yeah. He woke me up 45 minutes earlier than that. So it was a situation.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I'm just going to throw this out there, Bridger. You got to break up with him.
Well, that's the plan. After we hit stop, I'm
going to
break the news to him.
It's a bridge too far.
Absolutely. You know. Are you not a morning person at all? I'm guessing
not at all.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not.
It's like kind of the morning now. I mean, it's almost afternoon.
It's a.m.
And I'm barely functioning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for pulling it together.
Can I ask both of you a question before we get to know Bridger more and before we get into the daily zeitgeist?
Please.
The zeitgeist. Now, my car is also in the shop. I have a Volkswagen. It's still under warranty. It's in the shop. They can't figure out what's wrong with it, right? I took it in for what was going on, and they was like, all right, we fixed it. And the next day, same shit. I take it back in, and now they've had it for over a week and a half, and they like, we keep trying shit, and we don't know what it is. I have a loaner car, too. But, like, I'm pretty sure that if we keep going down this route, my car is going to be considered a lemon, and they have to give me a brand new car, right? So at this point, should I be rooting for my car to not be fixed?
I mean, how do you like your loaner right now?
I love my loaner. It's nice. It's an upgrade. It's like 3 years old. My car is a 2018. I still have a 5-year warranty.
Mm-hmm. And they got you in a 2021 right now?
Yeah. Okay. Or it's a 2019. I have a 5-year warranty. They got me in a 2023 now.
Oh, well, I mean, that might be the universe sort of previewing what is to come for you, you know?
Listen, I'm like, let me sneak into Volkswagen and break some shit.
Yeah,
like,
if you know my YouTube channel, I'm all about manifesting, you know, obviously. It's all about the energy, you know what I mean? So you're about to manifest this new car. You know, just the Jacques, what I would start doing now is close your eyes. And when you're in that loaner, when you're holding the steering wheel, you say, I'm about to be in one of these, but as a replacement for my car. And watch what happens.
Yeah. All right. Yep. That's what I'm going to do. Like, we all rooting for the lemons. We all rooting for the lemons.
Yeah, root for the lemons. Although, that kind of sucks. I can't imagine. But here's the other thing. Is it very easy to get your car replaced when it's deemed a lemon? Or are there probably, like, infinite loops you have to fucking hop through? Or hoops you have to
apparently,
hop through?
Apparently, because California is very friendly. Yeah, the California lemon laws go to the consumer.
All right.
Are lean toward the consumer.
Yeah.
Like, every other law with the cars except gas. Like, leans towards like us. So
yeah.
Now, if I was in Indiana, I'd be like, bruh, fix my car.
Oh yeah, for sure. They'd be like, hey man, you gotta we could squeeze the fuck out of it and give you whatever comes out at the end and you could take that. But we won't give you a new car. All right, but let's preview a little bit of what we're gonna talk about today with Bridger. I'm talking about Threads. It's out. And apparently, as of this recording, 30 million people have already signed up to be on the Meta version of Twitter. So we'll just kind of do a light check-in with what's going on there and some also problems that people have already began to encounter. Then we're going to talk about Donald Trump, whose eldest son definitely has never done cocaine, has some thoughts on the cocaine at the White House. So we'll kind of look at his rant about that. We'll check in with QAnon really quick. Remember that guy who said JFK was returning and then he had all those people go to Dallas? Well, there's a development with him. And we may even talk about the biggest movie that came out on the 4th of July, in addition to some other fun things. But first, Bridger, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, what you're into right now?
Well, first of all, I started looking into my search history and I'm like, what's happening with search histories? I think because it's automatically typed in, so many of the things I'll just hit the first result and it doesn't even get logged as a search history. So mine is sparse. Mine is so bare. But I do have this recent one that says, why is Tingle not in Breath of the Wild? Which is may make no sense to anyone.
We're talking Zelda now.
We're talking about Zelda. There's an old character in old Zelda games that's kind of a gay idiot who is not present in these new games, and I'm furious.
And did we get to the bottom of the lack of Tingle's presence?
There was no real logic. There was no real explanation. He could easily be there. There are a million characters.
Do you think Nintendo...
Justice for Tingle.
Yeah, did Nintendo hear about going woke and going broke? And then maybe that's what they did? They suppressed his character?
They may be suppressing Tingle. That's a great, great idea. Yeah, that's my only... the only explanation I can come up with. So no one has an answer, and it's very disappointing for me.
Yeah.
What a great name, too.
Tingle.
Have you been playing Tears of the Kingdom?
I have, and I don't know why I searched Breath of the Wild rather than Tears of the Kingdom, but I guess it's because I had already played that game, and he wasn't appearing in this game. And I'm desperate for answers.
Are you a big Nintendo person? Or are you all kinds, all over the place type of gaming person?
I love video games, but I play like one a year. But when I play them, I play them like I've been playing Zelda nonstop. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm kind of like that, too. Like, I'll do like maybe one or two a year. Like, when I'm in it, I'm in it. Like, I replayed The Last of Us games when the show was out.
Right.
And like, I was in it. And now I haven't turned on a video game since I finished that. But when the new Spider-Man comes out, I know I'm going to be in that.
Oh, like that one. I already told my child, I said, I don't know when you're going to see me again when this shit comes out.
You better get this parenting now, little boy. Once the game comes out.
This kid has fucking problems coming out. The Grand Theft Auto 6 probably coming out in a year and a half. So I'll probably miss the development of my child's language skills.
Absentee parent.
Oh, yeah. Then there's that Star Wars Outlaws game. That's like a GTA, but in the Star Wars world, and you could be taking spaceships and shit. I'm like, sorry. My people need me. I'm out of here. But no.
Listen, your son got a mom. Your video games ain't got a player without you.
You know what's funny? The funny thing is, too, like, part of me is like, I can't put him onto these games already. His brain is still developing. I can't rot him on these graphics quite yet. But I'm very, like eagerly awaiting the moment where I'm like, see, pick up this controller. And now join me in this world of digital escapism. Bridger, what's something you think is overrated?
Overrated? This might require a little explanation, but this has occurred to me recently. One-shot takes in movies, those long shots where there are no cuts from the movie.
Oh, overrated.
I don't care.
You don't
I no longer care.
Wow.
Who cares?
Interesting.
I love a long runner. Okay, but go on. Like, what is about it? Go on, tell me.
Yeah.
Break it down.
We know it's possible. First of all, we've seen it over and over and over. We know. And we also, there are so many tricks that are being played at this point. They're not even one long take. This is my theory. This is my new theory, is it's straight men who are afraid to choreograph dances. So they need to do something else that requires all of this choreography. It drives me out of my mind. Who cares?
Okay. So Thomas Anderson, closeted man who is not willing to just do an all-out dance sequence, because Boogie Nights
Insecure is
chock full of those things. Like, you could have just done a dance number.
Yes, just give us all a fun dance number. Put everybody in a cool costume. Save everybody the grief of having to, like, go and have the camera floating around. I'm not impressed.
What was the movie that was, like, one long run? Was it 1917? Was that what shot
that's,
like that?
Yeah, that whole movie, right?
Yeah. So for you, that could have been that could have been a dance sequence.
That could have been tens and thousands of dance sequences. Think of the money. We could have had all kinds of dance sequences. And what, have we had a World War II movie that has dance sequences? Or is that World War I, 1917? Yes.
Yeah, World War I.
Yeah. You know they was dancing. They was dancing back then.
Oh, yeah.
They danced.
Let's get a whole dance movie around it.
They was getting the jiggy. So can I ask you then, Bridger, what was, because I, the last one shot that I saw that stuck out in my mind that I was like, yes, this was great, was from Pearl. The movie Pearl. Mm. Which is, did you guys, so X, the movie X, which was like that porn horror slasher movie, which was very good, and Pearl was the prequel to that movie, and Mia Goth, like, I said this to anybody who would listen, I was like, Mia Goth should have got nominated for her role in Pearl. She fucking went for it, and was great. But she rips off, like, a 10-minute monologue where she hits every fucking emotion. And I'm just sitting there riveted. And then at the end of the movie, she also hits like a 4-minute, like at the end of the movie, a 4-minute one shot, just like look where she's like going through every facial emotion that she could possibly go to because she's losing her fucking mind. And I'm like, this was beautiful. Right. That's the last one I saw. I would, if you are into, it's not scary. It's not a scary movie if you're not into horror, but I would be interested to see what you thought about Pearl and Mia Goth's performance.
But, and also what you're describing, I'm basically in support of what you're talking about, where we're not like, people aren't moving around and the camera's going.
Okay.
We're talking about a nice long take.
Yeah.
You're talking about like the Succession shit. Right. Like the Succession shit that they did where it was like, we filmed this whole scene with no shot, just one shit.
Wait, was there a thing like that in Succession?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Which that, one? That
shit, it was lost on me because I'm like, man, this shit.
So what I'm going. So yeah. So all right. Spoiler: if anybody has not seen Succession, I'm letting you know this right now. I'm about to spoil something. So pause it and skip ahead. Forward like 30 seconds to a minute. All right. So have you two seen it?
I think I know what you're talking about, but go ahead. Yeah, I'm now remembering it.
It's when they find out Logan
about
Roy
Logan
dies.
Yeah.
From the call that they made to basically, it was a 27-minute like scene that was just one, like, no breaks, one shot. It shot like a one-act play. Yeah. But they were using tricks. So they were still using cameras and like they had three cameras and they would switch the cameras off and stuff like that. But they filmed that.
They filmed it in one take.
And then they did it again. And then the funeral was also filmed in one take as well.
And I feel like there's a, and this is the one I was thinking of, is that party they have, that the scene ends with Shiv and Tom having that argument on the balcony where she tells him she doesn't like him. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. But we can't even really think of it. These things are so wasteful.
Jacques, I think what you're saying with in that slasher movie, that those long takes are more like let an actor do a solo real quick. Yeah. They're like, here's a solo, just let it cook. Like, I think of that's like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer when Buffy comes home and realizes her mom is dead. That's also one long take too. And she kills that shit. Shout out Sarah Michelle Gellar. But I see now that there are versus like the opening of Snake Eyes, which is like this long shot going through a casino. And to Bridger's point, it's like, you're just doing some homophobic, you know, like masculine choreography. It's like, and then I need you to walk across this way with a bag. You're like, I got that. 5, 6,
I agree.
Seven,
you know what?
8. Walking across with my suitcase.
I agree with this. I agree with Bridger on this. Bridger, you have
thank got, you so
like,
much.
If we are saying there's a difference between just like a one shot that is performance based and a one shot that's just like
technical based.
All these movements and blah 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 blah. I agree. Like Birdman to me was cool, but it was like okay.
I could have made the same movie without all of that.
Wait, but Bridger, you've been around physical production. Is not one part of you impressed, though, to be able to pull that off? Or no, you're just completely like,
not anymore. Who cares? And you also think about how stressful it is for everybody. Let's just make it easy on ourselves.
Just make it a dance number.
It is.
Yeah.
Have you been in like an 8-minute scene? Being on an eight-minute scene without cuts is terrible.
No.
It's terrible.
No. My performance is based to like comedy. So I was never doing anything that was beyond me wearing a wig or fake vomiting or something like that.
It's terrible. But this ain't theater, bro. This ain't theater. I don't want to memorize all this shit.
No.
I'm over here looking at my size before you call action. Like, this is terrible.
Bridger, what's something you think is underrated?
Let's say, you know what? Listening to albums on repeat.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you
listening to?
Oh,
I would pay Spotify $500 extra a month for them to leave the little repeat button on. Just let me put an album.
You because mean like it, defaults to it being on repeat?
Yeah, because the repeat thing goes off. I listen to the album and then suddenly we're getting into whatever bullshit Spotify wants me to listen to. Just let me listen to the album again.
Yeah. Wait, so what do you got on repeat?
Everything. Okay. What have I been listening to recently? This is embarrassing.
No, it's your problem.
This band, well, it's just a woman. She goes under the name of Bully. She has an album called Lucky For You. That's so good.
Okay.
Every song is perfect.
What's Bully's vibe?
She's kind of like, it's like kind of mid-90s alt, kind of like in, you know, like fuzzy guitars and...
Yeah.
Like catchy enough, but she's so good.
Okay.
And I just want to listen to the album over and over. Let me. And you can, but you have to push the stupid button.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I've said this many times. I think, like, we as a consumer are trash in the way we listen to music now. We move on very quickly. Like, we used to actually live with albums, and we used to, I think I probably said it on this podcast, but we used to live with albums. We used to, like, take our time before we would give a rating of an album and like let the album marinate and like wash over us and listen to it over and over. And now it's just like when Kendrick's album came out last year and somebody listened to it the first time, it was like, I guess I was just wanting to be wild more. I'm like, you heard it once, bro. Yeah. One time. And now you're ready to move on. Like, it's just weird. Right. It's us. We are the ones that don't. We're the problem with music because everything is just so accelerated. And Spotify and iTunes is what really did it because it, like, now we just listen to singles and shit. But,
yeah,
like,
but hey, shout out iTunes for that visualizer, though, in the player.
Oh, I love the visualizer.
Nice. Man, visualizer, the way my 15 year old ass would get so high and listen to the Hot Boys remix featuring Nas, yes, Lil Kim, and Missy Elliott.
Woo! Oh, my God.
Escobar, CB on bikes. I mean, yeah, that whole thing was a moment. Yeah, I felt the same way. Like, the last time, I remember when this Radiohead album In Rainbows came out, like, fucking 16 years ago. It was like a pay what you want album. And I was like, this shit can't be good. They're giving it away for free. I don't know why. That was my mentality at the time because I was like 22. I didn't know shit. And then, like, I sat down with it. My first thing was like, I don't fuck with this album. And then, like, I took a second and listened to it, like, all the way through a few times. I'm like, this is great. This is actually great.
It's a beautiful album.
Yeah. It's true. You got to let it marinate.
People have forgotten what acquired taste is.
Yeah.
Like, some things take a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we do, like, is it tired or wired? Immediately. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't tell you how many times I've listened to an album and then, like, had a song on that album that I was like, I don't like this much. And then, like, a year or two later, like, started to be like, actually, I love this song now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it like fucking like hit my soul finally.
That's how I got into that. Carly Rae Jepsen. Because at first I was like, yeah, whatever. Carly Rae, I know about that shit. Then my like partner, my wife, she's telling me about it. All the listeners like, you gotta fuck with, just listen to it. Just take a listen. And I listen, I'm like, oh, this shit is actually good pop music. Like I had my first perception of what the music was. And then I just had to sit with it. I'm like, yeah, run away with me. I'm like, yeah, we fuck with it now.
She's got something to offer everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shout out CRJ. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about Meta stepping on the scene of, again, with an additional potentially toxic social media platform. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So I don't know if y'all heard. I don't know if y'all are there. I don't know if y'all are following me. Please follow me at Miles of Gray. I keep the handles consistent over all the app-based applications. But Threads has officially launched the supposedly sanely operated or sanely ran version of Twitter, as Mark Zuckerberg called it, has launched. But obviously not in the EU, because as we discussed in an earlier episode, this app is basically scraping your entire digital soul and giving it to advertisers in a nice package. So there still have some privacy data things to get over in the EU. But according to Mark Zuckerberg, 30 million people have signed up already for Threads. Are y'all on Threads yet?
Yep. Oh, I am at Jackie's Neil, y'all. Since I'm banned from Twitter.
Yeah, good. I mean, good look, fuck Twitter. Yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah,
Bridger, what about you?
I signed up for it last night, but this entire situation, Twitter falling apart, felt like the prison was on fire and we were all getting it out. And it's like we're all now like, well, we found another prison to go to. People are scrambling to trap themselves in another thing. It's crazy.
Yeah,
truly, I hate it. I thought we were free.
No, we're not. We've merely just, again, we're just always going to just out with the old, in with the new, I guess. We'll see. But Mark Zuckerberg promoted the app by posting on Twitter, which he has not done in like a few years now. And he posted the Spider-Man pointing to each other meme.
What a dork.
But then part of me is just like,
I love it.
Aren't you saying it's basically the same fucking thing, right? And it's in a way, he's like, yeah, because I will give it to Meta. What they do is they rip off apps really well. Like, they know how Jesus to rip off Christ. A fucking app. So I guess they're saying, hey, we're going to just straight up rip off Twitter. And it seems to be working. AOC has said, you know, maybe this could be a less toxic version of Twitter. I don't know about that.
Good luck.
Because let's be real. Yeah. Because Meta is still a garbage company that regularly ignores documented toxicity, violent movements, transgressive movements, whatever you want, like problematic shit that, and again, promoting trends that are harmful to minors. We saw that in the fucking papers about Instagram and like mental health for teenagers and shit. And all they do is they say, no, we're all about line going up. So pardon me, forgive me if I'm like, let's not act like this is some kind of completely different game. It's like the Ron DeSantis versus Disney thing. It's like, yeah, this guy is also terrible, and this company is also fucking terrible. But I guess I give the edge to the company because they aren't aggressively discriminating against LGBTQ people. Where in this one, it's like, pick your poison here. They're both massive social media companies that don't give a fuck about what's going on.
And Mark Zuckerberg is also trash.
Yeah.
And has fight, been though. Trash.
He can fight,
since
though,
since the beginning.
You don't want to get into. I said, he could fight, though.
I don't know. Maybe he can.
Can he fight?
Maybe he can throw them hands. Maybe he's got that.
He's doing a jiu-jitsu fight with Elon Musk coming up.
Is he ripped now?
He's kind of doing like this aggro, trying to recapture his masculinity thing. Like he wore like a 20-pound flak vest and like did like the Navy SEAL tribute workout and like was posting about it. And then now he's into Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, that man was born to be doughy. Be doughy.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't picture him as a tough guy.
Well, you better watch
not
out
at all. Well, he's a skinny nerd. No. That's what Zuckerberg is.
Look at his forearms now.
Well, now he's buffing up. I love it. Let me tell you why I love it. Like, of course it's going to be just as toxic. Like, yesterday I saw Matt Gaetz on Threads. Like,
already?
Hunter Biden should go to jail already. Like, all right, first block. But, like, it's going to be toxic and shit, too. But, like, if one billionaire is going to take down another, you might as well take down the one that I'm mad at now.
Right.
So it's just like, all right, man, like obviously we don't have the power right now to like take these bitches down, so like let's like let Zuck maybe take Elon
let
down,
them fight,
and then when Zuck gets like, you know,
gets weak,
all right,
a little
man,
wobbly, yeah,
a little wobbly, then somebody, maybe Jay-Z will come in and take him down, like somebody will take, we can just keep going like that until we get them all out.
Until we get one giant gazillionaire who owns everything.
You know what? One gazillionaire, I can handle that. I can handle one gazillionaire.
At least the planet can focus all of its energy just on one person at that point and be like, we got to get Rick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Versus right now, it's like, I don't know. I'll get my head start spinning when I'm trying to identify the people that are the architects of our societal collapse. But anyway. Yeah. It's also, again, the another thing, if you've used it, it kind of, you don't really know if you could, like, whose thread posts or what do you call them? Threads that you can see, like, if it's only from accounts you follow, like in your instance, unless you follow Matt Gaetz, they're giving you Matt Gaetz shit. And also, a lot of people notice if you sign up.
I don't follow Matt Gaetz, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Shit just popped up.
Oh, that's bad. I follow him because I think he has interesting things to say. That I think with a lot of people, if they were just a little more open-minded, they might, you know, see some truth in what he's saying. But also,
he makes a lot of salient points. Let's give it to him.
Now, absolutely.
That's what I've been saying about Marjorie Taylor Greene, but nobody wants to listen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Finally.
Thank you. You guys, you're slowly watching our rightward pivot on the show. But the other thing is, too, a lot of people notice that you can't delete your account unless you delete your Instagram account.
Oh.
It's like surprise, motherfucker.
That.
Like you
I
truly,
saw that after
they get
I
you.
Signed up.
Yeah. You can growing now a they third say arm. You can deactivate it or whatever. So that's, you know, whatever. The search function is still somewhat glitchy, but again, it's the first day and we will see where that goes. But again, I think a lot of people are just, you know, when you look at it, you're like, is this going to be much better? But I think for now, I'm not seeing weird crypto ads quite yet. So at least that's a benefit. Or when I just type the word crypto, I'm not getting hit by a bunch of bots yet.
I'm seeing a bunch of posts and shit from people that, like, I've only seen pictures from, you know, or I haven't had to hear their thoughts in the past few years. And now I'm like, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Facebook in that regard, where I'm like, somebody I went to high school with is now just on my shit. And I have to hear their thoughts about life.
Like, because, there's my Twitter self and there's my Instagram self. And reconciling the two, I think maybe a bit of culture shock for some of my Instagram people, like that don't know who like know me from way back or whatever, like, you know, so many people misinterpret sometimes when I'm posting political things and like backwards, like conservative takes are like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, okay, but go ahead. You'll find some people to fight with in my mentions. Anyway, so there's Threads. We'll keep an eye out on that and see where that all goes.
What was your first post, Bridger? Have you posted yet?
No, I was like, what is this? And then immediately closed it. Yeah, Haven't followed anybody. I can't get back dragged into this.
It follows them for you.
it follows them for you?
It follows a lot of people for you automatically. Yeah. It follows your Instagram like following list and shit.
Right.
I've been off of Twitter for like 2.5 years, and I really thought that it was over. So I'm just doing everything I can to avoid this.
Yeah. I mean, look, just do whatever you have to, because we have to protect our psyches at the end of the day. So, you know, if you want to venture into digital swamp town, be our guest. And if not, that's all good, too. Let's go to another swamp, the White House, because they found cocaine there. And we talked about this story on Wednesday, and we ultimately landed on that. This is a dumb story that will only have, you know, that'll only be fun for the conservatives to scream about, because it has cocaine, Biden, White House in the headline. I mean, if you missed it, there was a little baggie of cocaine that was found in the White House in a very, as they say, a heavily trafficked area, not like in Joe Brandon's bathroom cabinets or some shit. At first, it was only a headline because they weren't sure if the white powder that was found was of the party variety or the chemical warfare variety. So a hazmat team had to come in, and that was news because a hazmat team was going to the White House. Soon, the right-wing media was just saying that this is proof that it was Hunter Biden. And you're like, what? With connect the dots. They're like, because he's done cocaine. They're like, but he doesn't live at the White House. They're like, it's his, and it's Joe Biden's too. And that's exactly how Trump's response to this story sounded. He posted on Kirkland's signature Twitter, a.k.a. Truth Social, quote, does anybody really believe that the cocaine found in the West Wing of the White House, very close to the Oval Office, is for the use of anyone other than Hunter and Joe Biden? But watch, the fake news media will soon start saying that the amount found was, quote, very small, and it wasn't really cocaine, but rather common ground-up aspirin, and the story will vanish. Has deranged Jack Smith, the crazy Trump-hating special prosecutor, been seen in the area of the cocaine? He looks like a crackhead to me. Oh, okay. So he got it all in there. He got it all. He even referenced Leprechaun in the Hood funny, video. Man. It looked like a crackhead. Got it all. He's got it all in there. Again, I like that he goes, does anybody believe that it's for anyone's use other than Hunter and Joe Biden? Like, this is their little coke den that they have in the White House that's in a heavily trafficked area.
I would hope they would have more coke if it was.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, a little baggie? Come on now. Like, can't you have the DEA be like, hey, man, we got some bricks. We tested it.
Right.
This shit is base, man. It's brutal if you want that shit. We can, like, you can smell it through the bag. But
also, are we to believe that, like, these Republicans ain't also doing coke? Like, these motherfuckers out here coked out.
If Madison, what's the guy? Madison Cawthorn, the one dude who's in North Carolina who got ousted. His whole career started getting rocky when he was talking about how he knew about, like, the Republicans who do cocaine at the parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, of course, the fucking drugs cut. It's an omnidirectional weapon. Everybody getting hit. There's no, there's no thing where it's like, oh my God, I'm a Republican. I don't do cocaine. Yeah, you got demons. You're doing cocaine. Like, let's be fucking real. But yeah, so again, this was nowhere near the Oval Office, but we get it. Trump is facing fucking new charges every day, it seems like. So this was like a brief moment for him to act like he isn't the one that seems to be in deep shit and could be like, they're doing cocaine, and it's their personal cocaine that they have. They share their little baggie. They're half a gram, and they get fucking wasted off of it. But the thing is, I would say Donald Trump would probably know something about, you know, having a son who may or may not be in a perpetual state of being snowblind, because we've seen Don Jr. over the years.
Oh,
and how many appearances has he done with eyes bigger than fucking Pikachu, rubbing his nose and be like, the thing is, the deep state, man, they're going after my dad. And you're like, whoa, talking at light speed. And I think that's the thing that is intriguing to me, is that's the idea that Trump was saying that they're going to say it was ground up aspirin and it wasn't that large of an amount. That sounds like the kind of story you get your powerful lawyers to tell when your son gets caught with cocaine as like a kid or something, and you want to get him out of trouble. Be like, it's just ground up aspirin. It was a very little amount. And that, I don't know, just so specific that I'm like,
you weird and so stupid. Specific.
You've revealed your personal history, that this is something you probably have said in defense of your son, who's, because you're like, in your mind, you have a cocaine powerful son. Oh, yeah, it's ground up aspirin, very little amount. Boom. Trump improv.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, people ground up aspirin? I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was even a possibility of a lie.
Right.
That'd be like, you know, if like I said some shit and I was like, well, man, the sun was right on my block when it came. Like, I'm saying impossible shit. Like, it's impossible shit.
Yeah.
And it's one of those lies with like one too many. There are lies that have one too many details, and that's when you know it's a lie. It's like,
yeah,
if you had just stopped with ground up aspirin, you probably could have gotten, like, that's a decent lie.
And it was
a small amount. Why do you need that detail?
Yeah, because that now you're talking, now you're making like legal arguments.
Right.
To be like, what? Just covering all bases. Like possession with intent to distribute, because it was a small amount. I mean, it was only like an ounce of cocaine. I mean, ground up aspirin.
Do we know? Because, like, spoiler alert, the Obamas was smoking weed all the time.
Weed is not a drug, but go on. What's your
weed
point?
Weed is not a drug. Weed is not a drug. Right. But, like, do we know, are drugs allowed in the White House? Like,
is there a drug dog, like, being like, what's up, homie?
Yeah.
I'd imagine they're only trying to catch drugs, like bomb, but like explosive material.
Yeah, not, like bombs.
Like weed.
So, yeah, so like somebody even on a tour or something. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what, like, as long as you don't have weapons on you.
Yeah, you're good. Like, you can bring cocaine into the White
House. You can easily probably bring like a bag of cocaine in the White House.
Yes, you could bring crack into the White House. If you need to go in the bathroom and beam up really quick before you see the Lincoln bedroom, then that's your fucking right as an American. I mean, you own that house anyway with your taxes. So, yes, I'm going to smoke weed in there.
I'm going to do whatever I want. My ancestors built that house.
Oh, I can't do a little cocaine in the bathroom?
I can't do a little cocaine where my great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy built.
You know what would be wild if somebody comes back and claims it's their cocaine, but they need it back? They're like,
shit, that was actually mine.
That's
man.
My
Can
cocaine.
I get that back?
Can I get that back?
This is so embarrassing.
Oh, Jesus.
This is so embarrassing. My drug dealer is threatening to beat my ass if I don't get that.
You don't want my blood on your hands, do you? Because that's what's going to happen. I need to get this baggie back. I was saying on the other day when we were first talking about the story, like on Wednesday, I bet you the person who left it, they probably put it together at some point. They're like, oh, shit. That's my baggie I left at the fucking white. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, that boy's sweating right now. Like, I hope they don't find my fingerprints on that shit.
I know, right? Exactly. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that dragnet. But yeah, again, the Trumps and cocaine. Who knows? Who knows what's going on there? Although Aubrey O'Day, who used to date Donald Trump Jr., has said herself, she's like, yeah, man, was on them drugs. For real, honey.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Never not sweating.
No. And also, like, when you do that, like, kind of, I'm trying to snort up all the drip without you bringing my, like, hands to my face look, like, you sound like a bulldog trying to get upstairs or some shit. It's not a good sound. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to check in with QAnon right after this.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Just want to touch on a story that we've talked about. We've touched on a lot. About a year and a half ago, and back in November 2021, we were talking about this group of QAnon followers that were camped out in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, where JFK was assassinated, as they awaited the return of JFK and JFK Jr. And upon their resurrection, they were going to announce Trump as God King or some shit. And that was like a huge focal point for a lot of Q adherents, because that felt like this is the plan is going to come to fruition. And we got like a whole Christ narrative going on. The man behind this movement, his name is Michael Protzman, who had a knack of like using like weird ass numerology plus coincidence to really make these wild outlandish claims. He also had a ton of other wild conspiracy theories. Like how Joe Biden was never actually sworn in as president, and everything we are seeing in the news is actually part of a movie that is being shot in Culver City, California. You got very specific. So I guess Sony is making it?
Yeah, it's a Sony production.
Culver City. Oh, that's Sony. Okay, cool. So Sony's behind this. Or that time he was in Dallas. This was the wildest part. He was in Dallas, right? The Rolling Stones are playing in Dallas, and while all those people were camped out waiting for JFK and JFK Jr. to return, he said, hey, y'all need to get me some tickets so I can go see the Rolling Stones concert tonight. They paid for his tickets to go see the Rolling Stones because he was saying, I feel like I'm going to see something when I'm there, not just maybe a band I like that y'all are paying for. He came back and he claimed at the Rolling Stones show that Charlie Watts, the drummer, was replaced by Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. Prince, I believe, was on keyboards. JFK Jr. was, I don't know, like Mick Jagger or something. And Aaliyah was doing backup vocals. He said this shit with a straight face, and they're like,
listen, man.
Let me tell you something. I know that part.
Let me tell you something. I wish I lived in this man's world, because that's a bomb ass concert.
That's a dope concert.
Yeah, we'd all love that to happen.
That's a great concert, man. Yeah.
JFK Jr. concert. I don't know what he's doing. That's fine. But as long as Aaliyah's there.
But we got Aaliyah and Mike and Prince back. We got JFK Jr. could just, at that point, you could throw anybody else on stage.
Do whatever
you want. Still going to be the best concert ever.
Yeah,
that's a good idea for a bad tattoo. That feels like I can picture that tattoo. Right.
Oh, my God. And like, you have all those people. It's like Michael Jackson on drums, Prince not even on guitar, but playing like a keyboard.
What's happening?
And then Aaliyah
Who's
in the
singing?
Background.
Yeah, JFK is singing, not Michael Jackson, Prince, or Aaliyah.
No, he's on drums. Because he's black. I'm sure that's probably the logic. His like racist logic. He's like, Michael Jackson has to be on drums or bass. I don't know.
Prince on triangle.
Yeah. Prince, he wasn't sure maybe ethnically. So he's like, keyboards? I don't know. But here we are. Ooh. But anyway, that man died, Michael Protzman, recently. No. And his followers believe it's part of a plan for him to return as JFK. Some say he was actually JFK Jr. in disguise this whole damn time. The Southern Minnesota coroner's office says he died of blunt force trauma on a dirt bike from a dirt bike accident. But they said he may have been gotten. And it's a very, very chaotic time right now. And despite his very real death, the conspiracies are only growing as his inner circle tries to, they're hiding the details from like this massive Telegram channel that he was running. Being like, no, he's like, he's having brain trauma, things like that. And people just were like, pulled up records. Like, it sounds like he is deceased. But this man was responsible for stealing a lot of money from his devotees. Like, many of whom, we heard countless stories about how many of his followers were abandoning their families and even their children while like draining their bank accounts to fund this guy's nationwide tour of freaky ghost sightings. And it's like caused a lot of issues for like, you know, bystanders. But for now, while his followers argue over what happened, it looks like other people are actively trying to take over the Telegram channel to try and continue the grift on the
Succession.
Followers. Yeah, it truly is. And like people are like, I now run the negative 48 group. And they're like, no, you are a usurper. So just drama in QAnon land. You know, you hate to see it. You really do. Well,
first of all, good for him. Mm-hmm. Take those morons money. Mm-hmm. Second of all, this man did not die of blunt force trauma. He died of dreaming too big. That's absolutely the truth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You could run his channel now.
I might be the person in charge now.
Yeah.
You might be.
Go on. Go
That's
on.
That's the social media I want to join.
And watch, they're going to be like Bridger. Now take that word. He's a bridge to R, Republican.
Oh my God,
Republican domination. B, the second letter. You're like, oh shit, here we go. This is how this shit takes off. When your confirmation bias is set to fucking please.
Melt.
Yeah, you can make anything reality. So yeah, it was a dirt bike accident though. Just so you know, the deep state didn't off him. I don't know.
I don't have that much evidence.
But you got a feeling.
They could have threw a stick in the spokes or some shit.
Yeah. Or they're going to say something like, I don't know what the fuck they're going to say. Like, he was actually Evel Knievel on the bike and he was covering for that guy's death. Therefore, JFK is him?
Well, if Hard he was wearing a helmet, we don't know who was under the helmet.
Thank you.
Come on.
That's true.
Okay, so
use your brains. Think.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do some research. Do some research, folks. Okay. And then come back at me.
And be creative.
But we should also talk about, in pretty related news, the biggest movie that was at the box office on the 4th of July. The biggest movie on the day of the 4th of July was Sound of Freedom. Have you heard of this?
Sound of Freedom.
The top grossing movie was a Christian drama about child
that
trafficking. But just so you know,
that makes sense.
This record is only extends for the actual literal day of the 4th of July. So it was going up on a Tuesday and people were watching this really weird film. Now, you're saying, what the fuck is going on here? Well, at least some of the money that went to this box office sort of count was due to the studio's use of a, quote, patent pending technology called Pay It Forward, which, quote, empowers moviegoers to purchase tickets for other people whom they want to see a particular film. So it's like getting to the top of the New York bestsellers list. You know, the New York Times bestsellers list. Just buy 7,000 of your own book. Okay, and you'll
this is
be
for
right.
Everyone's most annoying family member.
Yeah. Oh yeah, can you imagine? They're like,
I bought you some tickets.
Oh, you're like your wild aunt is like, they bought me 40 tickets to see this movie. Pay It Forward, or not Pay It Forward. Wasn't that movie with Kevin Spacey? Was Kevin Spacey in Pay? What was
is he?
Pay It Forward. I don't know who.
Maybe
that is a movie, but I don't know who was in it.
Who was in it? Yep, it was. All right, but anyway.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey's got his own. He's got his own legal problems right now.
Also, it's just so funny that they buy a whole bunch of us. Like, listen, the tickets was bought. I can't help what I was the only person in the theater.
Yeah, exactly. But the movie stars Jim Caviezel, who you may remember from The Passion of the Chrysites. Speaking Aramaic. Shit. Dropping Aramaic on you. But he's playing a real guy, Tim Ballard, who, according to the film synopsis, quote, quits his job as a special agent with the U.S. Homeland Security Investigations Department in order to become a vigilante who hunts down human traffickers. Mm-hmm. Now, Caviezel appeared on Fox News and he was like, oh, yeah, this movie is, you know, straight from Christ. And I just want to hear, just listen to him. He was like on, I guess, Laura Ingraham's show, but Ingraham wasn't interviewing him. But we'll just hear a little bit about him just taking a victory lap over this fantastic triumph of having the number one movie, like, in the realm.
What's going on here? Why is Disney fighting? They're saying the pre-sales shouldn't count, but they do count. You're the number one movie.
Yeah. Well, this isn't about them. It's not about Angel Studios putting it out. It's about the children and Americans waking up right now. Mm-hmm. And the only way these laws are going to be changed is that if the people move right now to save them. This is a good versus evil story. This is a battled hero story. And I was very blessed that I got the opportunity, just as I was blessed to do The Passion of the Christ. And this is the best film I've done since that film. It is a controversial issue. It shouldn't be. We should just be naturally wanting to save our children. But again, there's those out there that want to exploit them.
Yeah.
So he goes on. He's like, this is not Disney's film. We are the people's film. And God's children are no longer for sale. Boom. Hold that L, child traffickers. But the movie
was funny to me. Not to cut you off. But it's so funny to me that, like, some of these issues that they present, they act like people would disagree with.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. We shouldn't be trafficking children.
Yeah.
that's not a controversial issue, bro. Like,
well, yeah.
That's a pretty common fucking issue. Like, that's a pretty common, like, take for the majority of people who don't traffic children.
Well, this is where we go into Q-Town, though. Because we know that QAnon's whole thing is about, quote, protecting the children, although these people don't know the first fucking thing about human trafficking.
Exactly.
So the movie was just a little bit of a QAnon, if you think about it. It was released on America's birthday, starring a conspiracy theorist who played Jesus Christ and talks about QAnon all the time. Okay. Ballard, the guy who the film is based on, hasn't explicitly supported QAnon. Although his organization, now hold on to your black butt, Jacques, Operation Underground Railroad is what his fucking organization is called. It even features a blurb on their website distancing themselves from, quote, conspiracy theory groups. But Ballard has also claimed that theories like QAnon, quote, have allowed people to open their eyes. So it all seems pretty intentional where this is all going. And Ballard also, he's expressed all kinds of transphobic bullshit in interviews and even blamed human trafficking on Biden's border policy. But his organization, I just want to drill down on this for a little bit, Operation Underground Railroad, despite their seemingly noble goals, it's a pretty controversial group. For starters, they have ignored requests from black activists to change the organization's name. And, like, this group has centered black and, like, Latin, like, Latino kids in all the fundraising imagery to be like, help these poor, like, children of color with our underground railroad of creepy white saviors. And a lot of people have raised a lot of questions about how this group operates. Like, there was this time Ballard and his operatives went to a remote village and, like, on the border of Haiti and the Dominican Republic in search of a missing child that they thought was being trafficked. Only for the crew to find out that when they were there, the tip that led them there was from a, quote, psychic medium from Utah. Bridger, any thoughts? I believe you're from Utah,
it
right?
It always comes back to Utah. Yeah. Everything comes back to Utah. I'm only from there. There's so much baggage.
You don't know the psychic.
I wish I did.
Okay.
I'm thrilled for her.
The other thing is, they also exaggerate their successes. So one child they claim to have rescued actually just escaped by herself. And their partnerships with, like, local law enforcement often amount, like, what they do is they give local law enforcement just a donation in exchange for credit in press releases. To be like, yeah, and then we did that with our partners, Operation Underground Railroad, which they deny up and down, although there's like recorded evidence that this is how they operate. And even when their missions are successful, they may still be doing significant harm. Ballard, he mounts sting operations posing as a wealthy pedophile looking to buy children for, quote, large amounts of cash, which critics and experts are just like, you're just provoking the very behavior that the group is ostensibly attempting to curb. Like many trafficking experts, they say, okay, this is dramatic, but, quote, such operations fail to address the complex social and economic problems that create the conditions for trafficking.
Because also they're doing just the worst cosplaying I can possibly imagine.
Yeah. Oh, hello. I'm a wealthy pedophile looking for children to buy. What's going on here? One writer recounted like a sting operation that she was asked to participate in, which featured a camera crew because Ballard was making a pilot for a fucking reality show. And like another a child trafficking expert was just like, this is, quote, just likely another childhood trauma for the victims he was trying to help. So very messy. And the studio that put the movie out, Angel Studios, they made their like initial business of like editing mainstream movies to be like Christian friendly. And then they got sued because they're like, you can't just edit these movies and then sell them.
Wait, is this another Utah thing?
They may be. Do you know Angel Studios?
There was a Utah thing like this where they would edit videos and then they ended up getting sued into oblivion and they would like sell burned DVDs of movies with stuff cut out of them.
They look, we let's
like with stuff they didn't want in them, like
exactly.
Cut out of them.
Yes,
that's so funny.
Oh yeah, you know it. Provo, Utah, baby.
Of course.
So you already knew. You already know. It used to be called Vid Angel.
That sounds like a very dirty name to me.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, is this porn? I don't know about all this. Yeah, you never know. You never know. And lastly, let's just touch on some like cringy shit. Justin Trudeau. Okay, so Taylor Swift's Eras Tour doesn't have any Canadian dates. A lot of people are like, when are you coming up to Canada? What the fuck? Like, we fuck with you up north. Canadians are, you know, the Swifties up there, they're a little disappointed. They're a little angry. Last month, a conservative member of parliament filed a, quote, official grievance over Swift's reticence to bring her show across the border. And not because they were a fan, but due to just, quote, the economic opportunities her shows generate. And the, quote, unquote, grievance was supported by other politicians who claim to have, like, no idea how any of this works. Probably because there is no official government protocol for complaining about a pop star's touring schedule. But here they go. They're trying. A lot of people say there's probably a few reasons why Taylor wouldn't take her tour to Canada. One, the capacity of the stadiums, a little bit smaller. And we know Taylor's a capitalist, baby. That weak Canadian dollar would likely mean hiking ticket prices even higher to match like what the fucking take-in is in some of these other venues that she goes to. But just when you thought things couldn't get even weirder, just got to say, Justin Trudeau. So Taylor Swift posted like additional dates of the tour and without like any Canadian dates. And Justin Trudeau tweeted, like referencing her songs, tweeted, "It's me. Hi. I know places in Canada would love to have you. So don't make it another cruel summer. We hope to see you soon." Oh, boy.
I was on Canada's side for a minute. But
yeah. To then Trudeau, it's
horrifying.
Yeah. But hey, you know, just get your dollar up. You know, that's just
put in the work.
Get your dollar up.
Get your dollar up. You know what I mean? Well, and maybe I'll be there.
Speaking of Carly Rae Jepsen, she's a Canadian. Have her come do some tours.
Yeah.
Have her come do some shit.
Exactly.
Do some shit.
Exactly.
Although, I appreciate, like, listen, there is precedence here that would be like, you know what? Yeah, we got all these issues, but so-and-so got to come back on tour, baby. Like, that's one issue that, I mean, like, you know what? This man is for the people. This person is for the people. You know, if he was like, Beyonce, you got to get them ticket prices down. I'll vote for that president in a minute. In a hot minute.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, right?
It's like, listen, Beyonce, I love you. I love you, girl. Love on top. But them ticket prices way too high.
But do it on the phone. Don't do it an at reply.
Yeah, do it.
Keep that to yourself.
Do it on the phone. Do it on the phone.
Exactly.
Come back when you win that argument. Like, guys, look, I fought for you and here it is.
Yes. Look what I did. Look what your boy did. And I didn't have to do blackface either to make it happen. Justin Trudeau. Bridger, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. Really great to have you. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that?
I have a podcast called I Said No Gifts. People seem to enjoy it. You don't have to listen if you don't want to. I don't care anymore.
Well, there you go.
And then I'm on Instagram. I've got my name on Instagram, and then I Said No Gifts on Instagram. Do whatever you want with your life, though, really.
Yeah,
enjoy yourself.
And is there a work of social media or any media in general that you'd like to point people in a direction to?
I mean, well, you guys asked me for a tweet, so I got back on Twitter and was like excavating, basically. And I went back and found an old tweet that I really liked from years and years ago.
Oh, I like that.
And it was this guy, I don't know him. It was at Lee Manish. And the tweet is just, "Guy in the Petco Express line clearly has more than 15 snakes." That's like one of my all-time favorite things. I was very happy to find that again.
Great turn. Yeah, see?
And now Twitter's dead.
Yeah. Now you can watch it all unfold on Threads.
If you can find me.
Or my social media network Unfold.
Yeah. Or Blue Sky, or wherever the fuck people are at. Who even knows anymore?
Who knows?
Jacques, what about you? Thank you so much for helping me host today.
You know, always a pleasure, Miles. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure, Miles. Jack, you got to come back to work, though.
Yeah.
Jack, let me tell y'all, Jack's saying he on vacation. Let me tell y'all what Jack really doing in these streets. Jack out. No, I'm not gonna put this business.
He's sleeping.
He's up here sleeping. He ain't on vacation. He's just sleeping. That is a vacation though.
Yeah.
He's selling cocaine. you can find me in these streets, baby, and on Instagram at Jacques Neal. Oh, I guess on Threads too. You can find me everywhere. Anywhere that there's a social media platform that I'm on, it would be at Jacques Neal.
There now, it is.
If you don't find me on there, that means I ain't on that shit. so that's what it is. Also, Comedian Feud, always come check it out. Now we're going to be announcing the lineup for this month pretty soon, within the next few days. So Okay. Keep that in mind. We got some really fun shows coming up in the next few months. We're going to have like the cast of the Righteous Gemstones on the show.
Oh, shit.
One of these, couple of months. Maybe some other big names that you guys may love from the television tube and movie screen tube. So come check that out. And then, you know, ain't nobody working right now, so I ain't got no shows or no TV shows to promote. So, you know.
Any works in media? Any works in media, social media, anything? TV show?
Let me tell you, man. Let me tell you, I love, there's one meme that I will always love. No matter what medium, no matter how it's presented. Uh-huh. And it is the John Cena, you can't see me, like, meme. I think it's the funniest fucking meme. Just, like, anything that has to do with that, like, here's John Cena's prom day. It's like, oh, that poor girl had to go to prom by herself. Like, it's just so funny to me. It will always be funny. So there is one that is, I don't know who wrote it, but it is, like, it says, John Cena, I love you. Her, I love you, too. When can I see you? And then John Cena, and he just looks down and depressed like, you can't see
me. Tragic.
It will always crack me up. It is Tragic. The funniest shit. I love it. Shit. So if you ever see a John Cena meme, actually, no, don't send them to me because y'all be tripping. But just know that I'd love it too.
You have some tweets I like. Let's see. Okay, so Mike Drucker, at Mike Drucker, quote tweeted this. I don't know where this like right-wing conservative mom lady, Tiffany for Tiffany Justice, tweeted, two moms traveling from Washington State sat in front of two Antifa members on the plane. The two men had just met and discussed being given debit cards. Their accommodations were also paid for while they were in Philadelphia to protest. Manufactured division. Whose money? And then Mike Drucker goes on to complete it, quote, and then they said their plan was to turn all the kids gay with books. And then they drank blood from a Christian skull. And then a soldier told them to leave America. And everyone applauded with tears in their eyes. That sounds about right. That's the tone of these weird ass tweets. You can find me at Miles of Gray. Like I said, wherever they got at symbols, chances are I'm there. And also find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. You can find me and Sophia Alexandra on our 420 Day Fiancé podcast, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé, get really high. And also, check me out on a new podcast that is releasing soon called The Good Thief, that I'm hosting. Really dope, kind of true crime story, but it's not really about a criminal. It's about the Greek Robin Hood, somebody who robbed billionaires and gave that shit away, which is kind of a story that we could all use right now. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, The Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. Wait, no. Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Thank you. We got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. Where you can check out all the articles we talked about, as well as the song we're going to go out on. The song we are going to go out on today is by the artist James Tillman. And this track is called Magic City Thrill. It's the first track off the album, Magic City Thrill. And I don't know where this guy's from. I think he may be from the U.S. Anyway, he's like a trained jazz musician, but is like making like R&B and like uses all of his just fantastic musical taste to make his music. So check this one out. James Tillman, Magic City Thrill. That's going to do it for us. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows for free. Until next time, we'll see you later. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.